Well, first I want to thank you for being here. I know you had like 77 other choices at this same hour. So I'm very excited to see so many people in the room who are interested in fighting stigma, which has been a very important thing to our community. And no, I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. I'm sure you have seen that quite frequently over the course of any sessions you've been to, because they tell us we have to put that in there. So I'm first going to give you a little bit of background about the organization that I work with that created this. Mental Health Connection was created a little before 1999, but it particularly took off after there was a shooting at a local church. These kind of things, unfortunately, seem to be happening every week now. Back then, it was much more rare. A man with a mental illness dashed into a church on a Wednesday night, started shooting, killed seven, injured seven, killed himself. It turned out that he basically had been cared for by his father. His father had died. Other members of the family had reached out for help. Nothing had happened. So he basically fell through the cracks of the mental health system. The mayor at the time in Fort Worth, and this is why this little place in Texas is actually making progress. There are points of light, as they used to say, in Texas, even despite what you may hear about Texas. But the mayor came to this little group that had been meeting and asked them to find a plan that would keep this from happening again. And that was the creation of Mental Health Connection. What they decided was that they needed to change the system in general so that there would be no wrong door to the right mental health resources, which was the vision of Mental Health Connection. They recently changed it to Healthy Minds, Healthy Communities, I believe. But their point is still, we want people to get to the right place no matter where they enter the system. They recognize, though, that it's going to be impossible to change a system if people carry a lot of stigma against mental illness. Nobody's going to support improving something that they don't necessarily believe in, or, gee, it's all the parents' fault, or just spank that kid and he'll behave. So the first thing that they did in 2004 was conduct a public attitude survey with many of the questions that Bruce pointed out to you, the vignettes that were there. And what they discovered, it was an 1,100 household survey, telephone survey, and they found, of course, there was stigma in the community. That, not a big surprise, but they did find it there. So using that survey, the collaboration decided to create an anti-stigma campaign, and we actually created a second one in 2008, and I'll show you a little bit about both of those. But as a part of the initial one, we wanted to create a curriculum, and we approached the Fort Worth Independent School District to see if it was something that they would put into effect. Initially, they said no, because there just wasn't time with all our standardized teaching. Then the standardized teaching changed, and they came out and said, you have to teach about mental illness and stigma. Oh, but by the way, we're not ready to give you the books. So the door opened widely, and we walked right in and worked with Fort Worth ISD to create this curriculum. Trying to remember everything I wanted to tell you. There were three interventions that we used in this particular study. The main thing that I wanted to know, and basically I'm a communications person, so when we get into the statistics, I'm the one always going, but what does that mean? So it's exciting to me, though, because when you're in this kind of field and doing public awareness, you seldom know if you actually make an impact on public awareness. So I'm very excited to be a part of this study. The thing that I really wanted to make sure that we did was create a study that would show the impact if this was presented in the field as teachers can present it on a day-to-day basis. They're not going to have the ability to have someone come in and teach them to do it. So the interventions that we were studying were the curriculum, and we did the teacher's guide, which we initially developed with it. We also created a little DVD with I was explaining to teachers how to present the curriculum. The teacher's guide was very simple, very explanatory, and it helped them cope with any concerns they might have about the way they address the different aspects of it. We included contacts. We had two contacts. They were 22 and 27, both with bipolar disorder. Once we recruited them, our research team had them develop their stories and then help them hone their stories into 10 minutes that they could present to the classes. We did this because the Corrigan studies show us that contact is a good way to have an impact on stigma. So we really wanted it for comparison value. We know that that's not something that is probably going to be able to be done in most classrooms who just download this curriculum from the web. And finally, we had the materials, which were posters and bookmarks. We had other materials that we did develop for these, but they were outdated. The nice thing about the curriculum is that as time went on, it's very, very easy to update, add information. For example, most recently, we've added a lot of information about children and trauma because we've learned so much about it. So it's very easy to update, being a PowerPoint curriculum and being something that people can actually download online. The first campaign was called I'm Not My Mental Illness. We included billboards, bus ads, street banners, public service announcements, posters, bookmarks, newspapers, and education. This all came about because we received a grant from the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, called a System of Care grant. That particular grant focused on children between the ages of 6 through 17. So we were able to address the stigma as a way to improve the mental health care system for them. And that's the reason we were able to do that. Our second campaign we called Friendships Count. And it's basically people need that support system in order to make progress with their mental illness. On a personal note, my daughter has bipolar disorder. And we were able to tell when she was starting to spiral. And one day I said, okay, I'm seeing this spiral. Remember how good you felt last week? Her response to me was, no, I only know how I'm feeling at the time, and that's what's normal to me. So it was a very interesting insight and helped to open my eyes and lead to this concept of Friendships Count, which still works for her. It included a YouTube video, posters, and bookmarks, and we did. I think some of them are gone. I don't want to take any home, so take the rest. We do have some samples of the posters that we took, and you can go to the mentalhealthconnection.org website, contact us if you want more. So we had three basic principles in developing this. The first was we had to engage the students. There's no point in doing it if we don't make the students interested. And we developed it actually for grades 6 through 12. The study has focused on the sixth grade as a good point for early intervention. So what we did was create a curriculum that had pictures of kids who were the same ages as the kids who were sitting in there. They're mostly clip art, but it's the concept of this could be you, diverse group of kids in these pictures. The slides we kept clean and direct without too much information on any of them. The second thing that we did was start with the stigma of differences. And the concept there is everybody's different. We all have our differences. And then you can feed into the concept that stigma, that mental illness is just one more of those pieces of differences. And finally, we wanted to engage the teachers. Because again, if the teachers aren't interested, and you'll see that we did fidelity studies with this, if the teachers aren't interested, if they aren't engaged, then we're not going to get the information across to the students. So that's why we created the teacher's guide. Now, in a minute, you'll see we also have classroom activities. Our hope as we developed this was that maybe science teachers would be interested because we talk about the science of mental illnesses throughout. We hope that English teachers would be interested because we had the newspaper connected to it and reading assignments and writing assignments. Social studies the same way. Most of it is in health classes, but there is that possibility that teachers will be interested in other areas. So just to give you an idea of what they are, the curriculum itself is a three-day curriculum. Each session is an hour to an hour and a half so that it can be presented in middle school, in our case, to the health classes. The first day, as I mentioned, focuses on the stigma of differences in general, and we talk about the way we judge other people every day as well as the way people judge us. In fact, the first slide in the entire thing that we've told teachers put up on the screen as people come in is that guy with the mohawk over there. It's just a big slide of that spiky thing, which I don't know. A lot of the kids I've talked to said, oh, that's cool. I kind of go, that's kind of weird. So it's just perception, which is part of what we point out. We also talk about the definition of stigma. And it's very much what Bruce was talking about earlier. We point out that there are many ways that people can be stigmatized and ways that students can overcome stigma. And please note that these are just samples. There's a lot more that we tell them, but I didn't want to have to present. I didn't want you to have to sit through the whole curriculum. The second day, we go into stigma, and it's the way it is different with mental illness, the way it can be deeper. We talk about the cause, what it is, a definition of mental illness in general, the causes, who can have it, which is basically anyone and everyone. We talk about teens and mental illness specifically. We talk about facts. Now, with the teens, we talk about the comorbidity replication study, which showed that, I think, is it half of all mental illnesses, the symptoms start before age 14? So we do discuss that. We talk about facts about mental illness. We talk about some of the things that we learned in the attitude survey locally. And we also discuss the success that can be achieved with appropriate treatment. We also address the definition of stigma as it relates to mental illness, and there are some additional aspects of that. Again, the attitude survey and the reasons for fighting stigma. And finally, on day three, we get into some education about specific mental illnesses. We hit on some top ones. We don't spend a lot of time on schizophrenia. It's not as common among high school students and middle school students, but we don't want to skip it because it's all over the media. We do discuss ADHD, which is often a surprise to students because they don't realize ADHD is considered a mental illness. And in fact, we had one teacher who was kind of resistant because their child had mental illness or ADHD, and they didn't want people to think she had a mental illness. That teacher changed. And we talk about depression and bipolar disorder. We also talk about all the anxiety disorders. We address, well, this may not be all of them, but we do address several of them. In each case, we just talk about a definition. What does it mean? We talk about causes as far as they're known. We talk about the typical symptoms and some atypical symptoms. And we talk about the treatments, which can include anything from therapy to medications. We didn't feel it would be responsible to discuss mental illness without including something on recognizing suicide, what you can do, or warnings of suicide, and what you can do if you think a friend is potentially suicidal. And this is a sample of one of the assignments. This is one on the last day. Write a paper on the types of differences discussed. Why is there stigma attached to differences? How can it be overcome? How can you personally help overcome it? There are different ones throughout the day. The evaluation that we had done before we were able to start this study was very much process-oriented. We knew that in distributing this through our newspapers and education program and our education service center, that more than 300 classrooms in about 200 schools had presented it. We had done a survey monkey of the teachers who had presented it, and it came back just 100% positive, except two teachers who didn't have PowerPoint capability in their classroom, which would make this one difficult to present. We were very excited when New York State, we discovered that one of the assemblymen had offered the curriculum to the people, to in all the schools, public and private, in the state of New York, and they reported to us that about 1,000 schools had ordered it. So now I'm very excited to present, Chris, you're next, to let you see that this, it has this had an impact.